Welcome to Tech Talk, y'all.
Hey, and welcome to Tech Talk, y'all. Season 9, episode 216. I am Sanjay Parekh.
And I'm Adam Walker. We got a great show for you. A ton of articles, and some crazy, weird, and wacky. But first, this episode is brought to you by Together Letters. If you want to stay connected to the important people in your life, get connected at togetherletters.com today with a free group. That's all I'm trying to say. So,
by the way, how can you measure articles by weight? Can you say that they are a ton? Because that's,
well, I mean,
like, does the ink weigh a ton?
Yeah, I think actually for this one, it's a crap ton, I believe. And I think that might be a technical measure, as I recall.
Is that how you measure like when elephants go to the bathroom? Is that?
Yeah, it's a crap ton. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we have some really good stuff, but let's just dive in. We are going to talk about drones, Panasonic, 4-day work weeks, Magic Leap again, Uber doing some interesting stuff, Airbnb doing some great stuff, in a teen hacker, T-Mobile, and then, like I said, weird and wacky, and at the end, tech wrecks that I think you'll find entertaining and interesting. So let's start out. Drone carrying a defibrillator saves its first cardiac arrest patient in Sweden. We talked about this like months ago about how they were going to have drones with defibrillators that'll fly out during emergencies, whatever, and it finally happened, and it worked. So, yeah.
Yeah. Basically, they're saying that the drones can get there so much faster than medical services.
Yeah.
And it said, here in the thing, in a 4-month pilot study, the service got 14 cardiac arrest alerts that would be eligible for drones. Drones took off in 12 of those cases, and 11 successfully delivered the defibrillators. Defibrillators.
Yeah, I can't.
That's hard to say if you're trying. That's like a word for a tongue twister.
Yeah, it's not a good thing.
Yeah. Danny has a defibrillator. Down by the docks. Danny has a defibrillator down by the docks. That might be the title of this episode, by the way.
That's so good. All right, what do you got first next, Sanjay?
Next, we've got these quote-unquote invisible headphones sit on your desktop and beam sound directly and only to your ears. This is kind of awesome.
It's kind of nuts, man. It's amazing.
Yeah. And it's not just like it's beaming like generally. So you've probably seen this in those museums where you go stand. They've got this kind of clear plastic dome on top and they're kind of beaming the sound just in that spot. You can kind of hear it outside a little bit, but if you stand underneath the little dome, you can hear it perfectly. So at first I thought this was what they were doing. No. They're using cameras to detect where your ears are and then beam the sound based on where your ears are. How nutso is that?
It's wild. And they were saying in the article that, I mean, basically this is like a sound bar that sits kind of on your desk in front of your keyboard, essentially, and will beam sound to your ears. And if you're listening at like a normal volume, like not super loud, but just normal volume, and somebody's sitting right next to you, they will not hear really anything at all. And if you're like blasting the music, they might hear that there's music, but they won't be able to tell what type of music. Like, it's crazy.
And the great thing about this then is now you don't have to wear headphones. So if somebody talks to you, they don't have to keep going, "Hey, Adam, Adam."
Yeah. But I would say that's why I'm wearing headphones.
Don't bother you.
Yeah. I don't want to hear the outside noises. I don't want to hear the dogs barking. I don't want to hear any of that. Like, I want it right in my ear. I want to drown out everything else. Like, that's the benefit of it. So I do see the benefit.
I think for what we do and podcasting and like when we record the show, I would kind of like this to not have to worry about the wires in my ears.
Yeah, that's true.
And things like that. I mean, I don't know. But then I do worry, does it matter then where I put my microphone? Because if my microphone's in the path of the sound waves, then is it going to pick up some of the sound? And, then I'm like, oh,
yeah, this is definitely for listening. I don't think it's for interactive stuff. I think it's really just for listening.
Well, then I'm not a purchaser.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Not yet. Speaking of things that you might be a purchaser of, Panasonic will start offering workers a 4-day working week. And we actually tagged a different article as well about a tech company that just decided to give its employees a 4-day work week permanently. And I mean, this isn't a trend. I mean, we're seeing more and more companies go to a four-day work week. And what's fascinating about it is the second article we tagged about the tech company, the CEO, they did an interview with him and he basically said, look, this was a selfish decision. He said, my employees are more productive and more happy when they do a four-day work week. I didn't do this to be good to the employees. I did this because it was good for the company. And that's really the angle we're going to see companies taking more and more, is that these four-day work weeks are so good for employees that it becomes good for the company, it becomes good for productivity overall. I think we're going to see a lot of organizations go into this.
So I didn't actually see these articles. Are they cutting down the hours from 40 to 32? Or are they sticking with 40 and just doing it in 4 days?
No, I believe they are cutting down the hours from 40 to 32. And the idea there being that, I mean, it's kind of a four-hour work week mentality. Like, because you have less time, you're more thoughtful with your time and you spend it on the things that really matter instead of all this superfluous busy work that everybody gets bogged down in, like meetings that don't matter and should be emails, or emails that really don't matter and should not exist at all. Right. So I think that's the thing, is that they get down to what really matters and that moves the organization forward more quickly.
Yeah. So. I like that. Next up, PayPal is exploring launching its own stable coin. So we've talked about stable coins before, like the USDC, I think that's what its name is, which is a stable coin. It's dollar for dollar, a coin that does not basically vary in value. So sounds like PayPal is trying to do this too, maybe trying to get around some of the fees and things that they end up having to pay when you do this kind of transactions.
We'll see.
I don't know.
Well, speaking of, I don't know, this next article is the same category. The AP, Associated Press, to launch an NFT photography marketplace built by XO. So the Associated Press owns a lot of photography.
XOOA is the name of the
company. Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
But the Associated Press owns a lot of photography, and they're going to turn them into NFTs and sell them and create a marketplace for it. So, okay.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the AP photographs are kind of quintessential, like they document really the things that are happening. So I don't know that I understand what this means.
Yeah.
Does this mean like when you own one of those photographs, like nobody else can use it, or do you get royalties off of it?
I don't get it. I don't. Speaking of things we don't get.
I still don't get like the whole NFT, like I own this art.
I don't know. I feel like we should, but Well, speaking of things we don't get.
Yeah. Magic Leap goes after medical customers with augmented reality headset. It's back. It's a zombie walking.
I've decided that Magic Leap is innovative technology looking for a use case.
Yeah.
And not only that, but it's innovative technology that I think is actually far ahead of its time looking for a use case.
Yep.
So I think if Magic Leap was founded 5 years from now, they'd probably like be enormous. I'm not sure they're going to make it to the inflection point where they can actually make money and be profitable. I'm starting to wonder if they're just going to go under before that point hits.
Yep.
So
that's the problem a lot of times with new technology, is that timing is a lot of it. It's funny because I just saw a company, a startup by the name of Seven Shifts, I think is what it is. And what they're doing is helping restaurants organize their people and workers and do all that kind of stuff. It reminded me of a local company, an Atlanta startup called Servinity, that was founded a long, long time ago, like early 2000s. And it didn't go anywhere. It failed. Mm. But one of the founders was a local guy by the name of Josh Luber. Josh went on and became the co-founder of StockX, which is very well known, very large company. He's now left there. But it just reminded me again of like timing is everything, right? Like Servinity today probably would have succeeded. Yeah. Servinity 20 years ago didn't
not
make
so
it.
Not so much. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Speaking of things that are succeeding, I guess, Signal. We're a big fan of Signal. New year equals new CEO. So the CEO decided to step down and they're in the hunt for a new one, I think, right? Is that what's going on here?
Yeah, yeah. So interesting. So an individual by the name of Moxie Marlinspike, and that's not his real name.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Moxie Marlinspike.
Okay, hold on. Just slow it down. There's someone named Moxie Marlinspike, and that's not his real name?
Well, self-named. Moxie Marone Spike.
Who self-names? Like, who changes their name?
So for a long time, his name wasn't known. It's actually also not in his Wikipedia article where exactly he's from, but he's actually from Georgia. He's from here. His name's Matthew Rosenfeld. And
he changed his name to Moxie Marlin Spike.
Moxie Marlin Spike. For a long, long time, his real name was not known, but it is on his Wikipedia page now. So he got uncovered at some point.
I don't even know how. Do you think you're like Jewel or somebody? Like, you're not Madonna. Like, you can't just
you went with Jewel.
I mean, listen, I'm just like, thinking of like people that
waiting for you to like break out.
Is he the artist formerly known as Prince? Like, what?
Save Your Soul, like, is that the song?
I don't know, but the whole thing just seems so bizarre to me. But okay,
well, at least he didn't make himself a symbol like Prince, the artist formerly known as Prince.
But he stepped down is what you're saying.
He is stepping down. So there'll be somebody new leading it. There's been a little bit of controversy over at Signal and around Signal because, you know, I think we talked about last time or the time before, Mobile Coin was integrated and Moxie, aka Matthew Rosenfeld, is involved and gets paid by Mobile Coin to help there. And were some of those decisions made because of financial reasons?
The answer is probably yes.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe it's actually the best technology for that, but it gives the air of like conflict there. So there you go.
There you go.
As you might have heard, Sanjay and I have a new project called Together Letters. So this episode is brought to you by Together Letters. The idea is simple. Everyone has email. No one wants to log in to another thing, but everyone wants to stay connected. Together Letters uses email to create a collaborative newsletter, keeping groups better connected. Sign up today at togetherletters.com.
All right, for our next article, Uber driver who got a hotel room for teen passenger after being stuck on I-95 gets offered a job. Did you read this story?
This is a great story. This is a feel-good story.
Yeah.
For this disastrous winter storm that hit Virginia.
Man, yeah, so bad. So this Uber driver gets called, I think, and I think he left like wherever he was to drive from DC. I mean, it was a pretty long like route for him. He goes and picks up this teenager and on the way back gets stuck in that 24-hour traffic jam, somehow is able to get off the interstate and talks this teenager's parents into letting him pay for her to have her own hotel room so she could get some sleep. I think by the time they booked the hotel room, it was like 8 a.m. or crazy. And then anyway, and then she ended up getting a ride home a different route. But he just basically put her up in a hotel room so she would just be okay and have a break, which was really generous. And then he got offered a job as like a very high-end trainer at like a Uber competitor, right? Something like that.
Yeah, for like a transportation company.
Yeah.
But he got compensated, paid back all that money that he paid for the hotel room by Uber. They did the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now he has potentially a new job, and rightly so. Like, you know, somebody that cares about customer service to that and cares about other people, other humans enough to be like, I can't just leave you by the side of the road.
Right.
Let me make sure I do the right thing because you are exhausted and need to taken care of. So
really important.
Good stuff. What's not good stuff? I guess it is good stuff.
It's good stuff.
From a legal standpoint, not for this individual. Google Street View car spotted a missing criminal and it led to an arrest. This was a very funny story.
It's like an old school mafia guy just standing in front of a storefront talking to somebody. Google Street View captures him.
And that's all you wrote there.
That's it.
And he goes, how did you find me? He's been on the lam for like 12, 13 years, something like that.
Yeah.
15 years, escaped. And he was a baker or something like that at a restaurant.
Yeah.
Just hiding out. He hadn't called it. He's like, I have not called my family in 10 years because he was afraid that would be the reason that he got caught. And so he was like, how did you find me? And he's like, yeah, you were on the street.
You're on Google Street View.
I don't know if I like this story because it's like promoting that we should have permanent surveillance everywhere, but it is kind of like, well, was a bad guy. He probably shouldn't get caught.
It is fascinating and it is good that he got caught, I think. So we don't need those guys on the street. So speaking of things we probably do need, Airbnb's new experiment to reduce racism. So this is an experiment they're running. I think it's in Oregon, if I remember.
Yeah,
I think and that's right. I think what they're doing is they're only showing like partial names, or they're not showing names when guests book.
The first initial. They're only showing the first initial.
The first initial, because people were being denied based on the race that their name sort of
implied.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so I think this is smart. You know, we don't want people to be denied anything based on their race, and certainly not based on the race that their name implies. And so I think this is a really good move from Airbnb to try to see if they can, you know, make it right. Right.
Honestly, I think, you know, worse, what we've seen is that this happens in hiring decisions and with resumes.
Yeah.
And I, you know, LinkedIn has that where hiring people can say, I don't want to see the pictures of people, so that those photos are not shown and that's not used in kind of deciding things about hiring. But I feel like resumes should probably have this. It's like, you should only have your first and last initial on there. And, and that way nobody has your name and they can just judge you based on what you've done and, and your accomplishments and not anything else that's implied. Because I think that's, I mean, this is harmful too, obviously, not being able to get a place to stay when you're traveling.
Right.
But I think even more of an impact and more harmful is those employment decisions.
Yeah.
Talking about something that is not harmful, maybe it's good. The next story after this is going to be good. But yeah, Tesla's full self-driving beta has an assertive driving mode that may perform rolling stops.
I feel like...
Yeah.
Like... You don't really want to encourage assertive driving. And I feel like encouraging autonomous assertive driving seems particularly like a bad idea to me. So I feel like, you know, like they have like, I think I said they have like calm mode and then normal mode and then assertive driving. I'm thinking like it's autonomous driving. It should just be autonomous driving mode. Like that should be it.
Follow the rules.
Yeah.
Follow the rules mode. There should be one mode. Follow the rules.
Yeah, I mean, and then like, what are the implications of that? Like, in assertive driving mode, does it like speed? Like, do you really want? Do you want autonomous driving speeding? Like, it seems like a bad idea. I mean,
5 miles over, right? The speed limit.
Yeah, it's just the whole thing seems like a bad idea.
Assertive is like this is the level that you probably won't get a ticket. And what happens if you do a rolling stop like that and you get pulled over? Does Tesla pay the ticket?
Yeah.
Do you pay the ticket?
Like who's responsible?
Well,
like,
I guess if you set the mode, you should pay the ticket. I guess so.
Yeah.
Because right? You said, I want that.
I don't know. It just seems so crazy to me. So speaking of also crazy, teen hacker finds bug that lets him control 25 plus Teslas remotely. And apparently they were Teslas across different countries too, right?
Yeah.
Like walk me through this because that seems...
Yeah,
terrifying.
I saw the Twitter thread on it, and this individual, he didn't share the way, but he said it wasn't a issue with the Teslas and the Tesla software themselves, but how the owners had configured them or set them up or not set them up, maybe.
Interesting.
And so, yeah, he made it very clear that he was not able to drive them or, you know, do anything with, you know, starting, stopping, you know, control like that.
Okay.
But he could remotely do their horns, unlock them, open their windows, like, you know, like a bunch of stuff that you probably don't want people doing that are not you.
Remotely doing their horns I think if I had control of someone's car from my computer and I could just press a button, I would just be pressing the button every 3 seconds to make their horn go off. Like that's...
The problem with doing it every 3 seconds is then it seems like it's a software problem. You've got to do it randomly.
Yeah. Okay.
Over time, true. Right?
It reminds me of like there's a Brian Regan comedy sketch where he talks about borrowing a friend's car and how the horn just started going off intermittently and he was in traffic and really embarrassed by it. And so at some point he started deciding that he was going to act like he was cheering for a sports team and honking his horn for the sports teams. He was like, he'd be like, honk, go my favorite sports team, go honk, go my favorite sports team, skull a goal point unit. Like, you know, like that
goal
was
point so, unit.
Yeah. So like, that's like, I want to be the guy controlling the honking that's causing that. Like that's what I want to be. So anyway, that's
too funny. That's too funny.
That's all I got.
Right. Well, next up, we've got a story that may or may not be true based on your experience now, but T-Mobile begins blocking iPhone users from enabling iCloud private relay in the U.S.
Yep.
You've got T-Mobile. You've got an iPhone.
Yep. So quickly, iCloud Private Relay is a way of masking what website, like, so that T-Mobile, like, VPN, for example. Basically. Yeah, it's like a VPN. So yeah. T-Mobile would not be able to tell what websites I'm going to. So it limits the amount of data they can collect on their user base. And this article was saying that T-Mobile and other carriers were starting to block this iPhone feature. So I immediately went into my phone to see, like, can I turn it on? And sure enough, I could turn it on. I didn't have any problem with it at all. Now, T-Mobile's response to this article said that this feature was blocked when certain parental controls were on that were a part of their network, because they need to be able to see where the phones are going and where they're directing so they can make them work. Yeah. So I think that's reasonable. But whether or not they're blocking it at a larger scale, I don't know.
Yeah. This was worrisome at first to me because I use a VPN. I've talked about Mulvad before. I'm a big fan.
Yep.
And this was a little concerning, but now that you've kind of played with it, I'm like, okay, I think that's okay.
Yeah.
Like if it's because the user said that this is what they want.
Yeah. Parental controls for sure. Then makes sense.
Okay. Sure. That's totally legit.
Yeah. All right. Last article. And then we're going to hit weird and wacky and it's going to be great. So stay tuned and don't leave us yet. But Wordle is tech born of love that asks nothing in return. I know you're a Wordle fan. I have done one so far.
You've done one. Okay.
I know that you're a Wordle fan. Walk us through this one.
How many tries, I got to ask, did it take you?
I think it took me three or four tries. I don't remember which. Good. Yeah, three that's or four. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. So Wordle is a game that a guy whose last name is Wardle out of the UK came up with because pandemic, and his partner was looking for better games or something to occupy time. And so basically the game is this. It's purely a website. There is no app. It's a web app. You go to the website and I think we linked to it, right?
Yeah. Wasn't I think you talked about it last week actually. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You come up with a word, and it's a 5-letter word, and you try to guess the word of the day, and it'll tell you if you've got a right letter, wrong letter, and if it's a right letter in the right spot or in the wrong spot. And the beautiful thing about this is, and I didn't even think about this when I was reading the article, is that once you load up the website, you don't even have to be connected to the internet. It's not sending data anywhere. Mm. There's no ads. It doesn't cost anything.
Yeah. It's not monetized really in any way.
And what's fascinating now is there's a bunch of copycats to this.
Yeah.
And there's been apps even on the iPhone App Store
For
$30.
Yep.
And Apple's been shutting those down because, no, that's not okay.
Well, and the one on the apps on the iPhone App Store, I mean, was on Twitter bragging about how well it was doing. And then I think like an hour later, Apple shut him down. You know?
So bye-bye. Like, that's what you fantastic. Get. Yeah. You can't go bragging about ripping up other people off like that.
Yeah. I think it's fantastic. I'm really glad that Wordle is doing really well. And it's fun. It's a fun game to play. Yeah.
Time for the Weird and Wacky segment.
Abominable Snowman.
He's not an axe murderer.
One of the TAs turned out to be a bot.
All right, Sanjay, our first weird and wacky article. We have three for you coming at you today. But the first one, farmer makes his cows wear VR goggles to increase milk production. So not only is this weird and wacky, I find this also awful, right? Like, think about it. Like, this seems abusive to the cow to force it. Like, he's literally strapping VR goggles to the cow's eyes. And the idea is that I think it's wintertime. And he wants the cows to see an image of like a summertime spring pasture, and that's going to increase milk production. I don't know if it's actually working, but that's what he's trying to make it do. And I get the intent there, but I mean, it kind of seems inhumane isn't exactly the right word, but it doesn't seem very kind to the cow.
Well, I mean, it sounds like he's plugging the cows into the matrix. That's basically it, right?
Exactly. It's the cow tricks.
It's the cow tricks.
I mean,
need that domain.
Plugged into a virtual reality simulation in order to create milk versus energy. Like, it's the Cowtrix. That's what it is.
Okay, that domain is available. Should we get that domain? Cowtrix.com. Enter the Cowtrix.
Cowtrix.com. Oh,
okay,
gosh.
I think that might be a better title for this episode.
Wow, enter the Cowtrix. Okay, I like that. It's an interesting concept.
It seems wrong.
It seems absolutely wrong. Yeah.
And you know, a lot of times when you do things like this, it will backfire because something
Yeah.
Cows are not meant to do that. No. Like no. they're meant to experience seasons just like the rest of us.
It's not good for them. No.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Next up, something else that's not good. Two Los Angeles cops fired for ignoring robbery calls to chase a Snorlax in Pokemon Go. So the biggest question I have about this story is people are still paying Pokemon Go?
For real. I read that. I'm like, are you serious? Like, what year is this again? Like, come on. Really? Like,
they should get fired for playing obsolete games.
For real.
Yeah.
Like that was a big deal. Like, was it 2018?
Yeah.
2019? Like, come on. Like, we're way
bigger issue is like, you guys are living in the past.
Get with Wordle, we're firing people. Okay. Get with Wordle, not Pokemon Go. Like, let's be real here. Come on.
So. And Wordle only takes a couple of minutes of time.
I'm saying.
And there's only one a day.
Yeah. So you don't have to ignore people in need in order to play it. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So listen, I mean, it was funny in this article, like I read the statements, you know, like the whole statement about like how they were talking, like it captured them all on video, like talking about this and let's go capture this. And oh, it looks like this thing's on this street. And I'm like, man, these cops need some oversight. Like cops need oversight in general, but like, come on, like, what are y'all doing?
That's why they've got the cameras in the car. Cause they were able to say like, this is what they were doing and this is what they were saying and
so
all of that stuff.
So crazy. Yeah. Well, listen, speaking of crazy, last weird and wacky, and I can't decide if this is crazy or total common sense, but Israeli scientists teach goldfish to drive a robotic car on land. And did you watch the video of this?
I didn't watch the video, no.
Okay, so it kind of seems dumb, honestly, to me. So here's
wasn't there a Dr. Seuss story like this or something?
Probably, yeah. Here's the setup. There's a fish tank, a clear fish tank, sitting on top of wheels. And basically the fish swims and kind of bumps into the side of the tank. And in the direction that it bumps into the side of the tank, the car drives in that direction. So like if you think about it, like a wide open big room, right? And you give the fish a goal of a red dot or a red line at the end to go to. I mean, in their mind, they're really just kind of swimming in a giant fish tank because the fish tank is basically just moving in the direction that they're already going. So like, it's not like they're really doing anything different than they would normally do.
Yeah, I don't think the fish are like, hey, look, I'm moving within this space or something.
They're just swimming and they hit something.
They're seeing
and then
the thing there and they're swimming
and
towards it and then they eventually get to it.
I don't know. It doesn't seem that interesting.
I think this is like the weird and wacky this time. It's a lot of like animal abuse between cows and
I don't
fish.
Know that I would call that abuse because I feel like the fish is just doing what it would already do. It's just swimming in water like it would already swim. I think the real thing is you can actually train goldfish to swim towards a mark. Like that's the more interesting thing to me here than the fact that there's a car involved.
I don't think this is like they've realized that they're moving a thing.
Yeah, I don't think they have either.
I have a hard time believing that fish have that kind of ability to realize.
Tech wreck, tech wreck, time to get your tech wreck.
Tech wreck,
chicky. Tech wreck, time to get your tech wreck.
All right, Sanjay, Tech Rec time. What do you have for us today?
So I've got a bit of a fintech recommendation. I have recently signed up for a new bank, and it's a bank called Aspiration Bank. And it's interesting. I started looking around at other banks because a friend of mine has taken a job at a B Corp certified bank. It's not Aspiration. It's another bank. And I was like, oh, that's so interesting. And I found Aspiration, and they start talking about how most banks where you have your money are actually using that money to lend to fossil fuel providers and people like that, things that you may or may not agree with.
Okay.
And Aspiration Bank specifically does not use your money to do those kinds of things. But going a step further, they actually have a program where they've got partners that you can get discounts with. And one of those partners is a company I've talked about before, which is Arcadia Power.
Oh, okay.
Cool. So Arcadia, you know, replaces all of your energy with wind power so that you can be carbon neutral, even if your power company doesn't do that for you. And it only costs $5 a month. Well, with Aspiration Bank, you get a 10% cash back on money that you spend with Arcadia. And I was like, I was doing the math there, and you've got to have the higher plan with our Aspiration. So it costs you $7 a month. But based on my energy bills, I'm like, I'm going to come out ahead in this thing. And then on top of that, I can then use their debit card to pay for gas purchases, and any gas purchases I buy, they buy carbon offsets for those gas purchases. So I'm like, This is killer. This is good for the environment. It's good for me. It makes sense. Okay. Money's not being used for fossil fuels. So go check it out. There is a link in the show notes that is a referral link. I'm not totally sure what it gets you, but I think it gets you something if you use that link.
Okay.
But yeah, so it's a virtual bank. There are no branches or anything. So everything's online.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty easy to set up. And even the debit card they send you is made out of recycled plastic.
Oh, so man. I love
it's
that.
It's all about being good, good for the environment.
That's so great.
I'm enjoying it so far.
Okay. Okay.
What about you, Adam? What do you got for us?
Well, my app is kind of related to recycling, sort of. So for those of you that are parents of smaller children and you find that as you walk through your house, there are these random piles of Legos that, like, what in the world? Like, because that's the problem with Legos, right? Is you buy a Lego set and then you put it together and it's this beautiful thing for a very finite period of time. And then it slowly gets destroyed, kind of like ancient pyramids get chipped away, right? And it's like one piece here and one piece there, and then you step on it and then it, you know, you're bleeding and all that stuff. And so eventually it disintegrates into just random Lego pieces and you have no idea what to do with them. And that's what this app is apparently supposed to help with. I haven't tried it out yet. I want to try it out, but it's called Brickit.app. And I think there's an app in the App Store for it as well. And essentially what you do is you take a photo of this pile of Legos that you have, and it suggests things you can use those Legos to build, which is kind of cool because a lot of times it's just kind of hard to figure out, like, what should I build with this random set of Legos? So now you know what you can build with this random set of Legos. So
and it looks like, too, there's a beta version in the Google Play Store, too. So us Android folks are not left out of the fun.
It makes me, like, I think I'm going to download it and then just grab a pile of Legos from my kid's thing and just see what happens, you know. But we got plenty of piles of Legos all over the house. So it's just
you and me both.
Yeah, it's wild. So, Sanjay, how can our listeners find and connect with you?
They can find me on Twitter, as always. It's at Sanjay, that's S-A-N-J-A-Y, or sanjayparekh.com. What about you, Adam?
Oh, find me on Twitter at AJ Walker. Find me on my website at adamjwalker.com. I am trying to write on my website once a week now, so check it out there. Love to interact with you, or just find me at Tech Talk Y'all on Twitter as well. I'm there.
Hey, are we going to go out and go try to find a Snorlax now? Pokemon Go?
I don't know what a Snorlax is.
Neither do I.
So I'm going to go with a hard pass. Hard pass on that.
Yeah. Hard pass?
Yeah.
Hard pass. We could take over somebody's Tesla and go find a Snorlax. Do-do-do.